Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now it feels real. Welcome on in, Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the official Eagles schedule release show. Joe Giglio with you. Moshe Kravitz behind the glass this evening. And in with me for the next couple hours is James Seltzer of the Go Birds podcast, among other things he does here at WIP, like the Midday Show and High Hopes podcast. James, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? I'm not going to lie to you. Little bit of chills there with that music.
I know.
Got it going.
Old
for
school,
me.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That is great. All right, we got a lot to get into here, James, the next 2 hours. So it is NFL schedule release night, and obviously, you know, some of this stuff is leaked out already. It's the way it works.
Yeah, but it's good that they have a whole show. The NFL releases the schedule, but we all know.
Yeah, so at 8 o'clock, we will have an official schedule. And don't you guys worry. At 8 o'clock, James and I are going to look at the schedule, and we're going to do what is a staple. We get to be the first ones on WIP this year to do it.
I'm
you realize
gonna
that.
I thought about it on the way in.
Yeah.
I was like, I get to be the first person on WIP to do win-loss. What an honor.
It's,
I can't wait.
It's a staple of sports radio.
It's a must.
Everyone's going to do it tomorrow. We'll do it tonight at 8 o'clock, so we'll have the full schedule. We do have some stuff that is kind of leaked out here. Joining us at 8:30, and I'm excited for this, is Merrill Reese. Merrill's going to join us,
amazing.
Which means we're going to make him do the win-loss game. And my other favorite thing about Merrill is he'll give us his thoughts on where he's traveling to, because he likes some places he doesn't. I know he hates Washington.
He's talked a lot about Washington and what a dump that place is.
Totally. So we're going to have Merrill on later in the show to give his thoughts on us, and you guys be part of the show as well. 215-592-9494, the schedule release show. All right, James, let's just talk big picture for a second here. We do know a little bit about the start of the schedule, but you and I haven't spoken about the Eagles. You were on with me for the Roundtable Philly show, so
yes.
we know how our thoughts on that. But where are you on this Eagles team? Because it's funny, I was thinking about this the other night. Like, I would say the temperature of the city that I felt up until draft night was, all right, like, they're not bad. They didn't improve that much. Still, the jury's out for a lot of people. I feel like it's a split city on the quarterback, which what else is new? It's Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel a lot of buzz for the Eagles. And then draft night came, and it just totally flipped, like, on 180 in one night. I feel like people are excited. I think they could be a good team. And James, I think they could win the NFCs. Before I see the full schedule, I think they can win the NFCs.
Joe, we're not going to be disagreeing too much tonight then, because I'm 100% with you. And I was very down on this team last year. I've been very down on Howie Roseman the last few years. But I think you look at the last year that this guy's had, basically from the Carson Wentz trade forward, I mean, masterful. I mean, he's really brought this team back from the brink and put them in a really good position. And to your point, man, I don't ever remember a single move changing a fan base's opinion of a team as much as the AJ Brown trade. It totally changed everything. All of a sudden, there's juice for this team. People are excited. It's like, we might have one of the best offenses in football. And we were going from, like, can this team even throw the ball, to all of a sudden, everyone is all in on this team. And honestly, I think they should be. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to improve from last year. And we're going to talk about it. But, hey, you know, everyone last year, easy schedule. Guess what?
Easy schedule
again. So I think they're in, and especially you think about Sirianni year two, Hurts in year two in the same system, year two as the starter, like all the other young guys getting another year in that. There's a lot of reason for optimism with this team.
So I'm going to say something now, and I don't want this to be misconstrued, because I don't think I like Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's going to jump to become an MVP level player this season. But this offseason, when you add it all together, it kind of reminds me of 16 going into 17.
Sure.
like, you know, they were an okay team in 16. This, in, you know, 20, they won 21, they were better. They won 9, but they're okay. The quarterback, you saw some things, but there was still like, all right, we'll see how good he is. Now, Wentz was the number 2 pick. Hurts was second round pick, so it's not exactly the same. But then they went and got Alshon Jeffrey. Right, and there was like a buzz going into 17, and a couple, I guess it was last week, James, I was filling in for Angelo, and we had Brandon Graham in for an hour, and just, I just sensed from him like an excitement, like it's almost like he's rejuvenated, because this is the first time I feel like in a few years where there's like a buzz that they could be good. Last year, no one had any expectations, and even into 20, it was like, it felt weird. It felt like they were on the downslope of that run they had in 17 and 18. This is the first year I sense optimism from the team about where they're going.
It's a great point. Kelsey, I think, is another example of that. And it's,
well, how about you? I'm sure you guys played on the show, his reaction to A.J. Brown.
Absolutely. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And then, you know what stuck with me that Jason Kelsey said? I thought it was a really impactful thing for him to say. When asked why he's coming back, he's like, I had fun playing for Sirianni.
Yep.
Like, I enjoyed this. This is fun. I want to do this.
Kind of like early Doug. Yeah. It was like a buzz.
Yes. And that was the, I will fight anyone that the most important thing about that 17 season was the chemistry, was the team,
right,
was that group of guys, the we all we got, we all we need, us against the world, the underdog thing. Those are powerful, motivating things in a sport where it's all about motivation. It's all about going out and wanting to beat the dude in front of you and wanting it more. I think that stuff is super impactful in the NFL in particular, even more than other sports. And I think that this team feels like they got a little juice going there. I agree with you. I think these guys like playing for Sirianni. They like the culture he's creating. And to the, you know, the point with A.J. Brown coming here, I think they like Jalen Hurts as their leader. We don't know if he's good enough yet. We'll get into all that.
Right.
But in terms of just like a guy being the leader of a team and them going out to fight for that dude and the general and all that, it feels like Jalen Hurts is a guy that players respond to.
Yeah, there's some, it's weird because they're totally opposite as players, but there's some foals to him and that, like,
absolutely,
they all love him. They want him to be the quarterback. 215-592-9494. If you want to hop in to be part of the show here, it's our schedule release show. So 1 hour from now, we will have the full Eagles schedule. And we got to look at the other teams in the division, their schedule as well. But let's just jump in quickly on what we know already, and it's confirmed. We know, and the Eagles put this out, week one, they're in Detroit against the Lions. They open as a 4.5-point favorite here, James. It's interesting. It's the kind of game where they should win. They're better.
Yeah, you could say that.
But I do think it's kind of weird because they went there last year and blew the Lions out. The Lions are kind of a team that people are intrigued by, I guess, a little bit because they were spunky last year. They weren't.
Well, we all thought, well, there were a lot of people thought they might lose
that
game going in.
But the rest of the year, they weren't awful. Like, they lost a bunch.
They fought.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy it's the Lions, right? It's not a tough game. I do think that is an interesting spot for the Eagles. Like, if they go in there and win convincingly, that's going to really impress me in week one. Because that Lions team, for the most part last year, they were in a lot of close games.
Yeah, they fight. Again, I think it's a good way to put it. And Dan Campbell seems like he's instilled that kind of thing in this team. That they might not be very talented, but you know what? They're not going to roll over. And I think that is a tough team, in a sense, to start the season against. But to your point, I mean, you look at the schedule, I would say Detroit, one of the three or four teams you're most excited to play this season.
Right.
And that's what I wanted. Coming into the schedule, before any leaks, before anything, I just said, I want it easy to start.
The
opposite. I think last year is really more of an anomaly. I think usually you see teams get hot to start the season, get on a roll like 2017, build on that, confidence builds, chemistry builds, all that's winning breeds confidence. I think that starting against a team like Detroit is a real win for the Eagles. But to your point, you're right. It's not a cupcake in the way that it might have been, you know, a couple years ago. Right?
Yeah, so week one in Detroit, we know about. The Eagles have put that one out. They open as 4.5-point favorites. And then we know week two. We found that out a couple days ago. The home opener against Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's been a decent team for a while now. They're not bad. They're just blah.
They're so blah.
They've taken on the personality of Kirk Cousins,
yes,
right? Like, he's not bad. Anyone that calls Cousins bad
is
silly. He's fine. He's a pretty good quarterback. But I like that as a home opener spot. One, because Cousins on the road, I think, is 10-17 in primetime.
I think it's 8-17.
Okay. Yeah,
I saw 8-17. It's one of those type of numbers.
It's bad,
yeah,
right? He just, 1 o'clock Sunday, I don't want to play Kirk Cousins.
I agree with you.
8 p.m. here, I do. James, it's set. Like, it is set up for them to go 2-0 to start the season. That And that's like the total opposite last year because they had to dig out of a 2-5 start. If they go 2-0, there's going to be buzz around here.
There will be. And I think there should be again. And I do think it matters, not just for us and for the fan base and us getting excited about this team. I think it matters to win games early. I think it breeds confidence. I think these guys will start believing in themselves, believing in the system, believing in Hurts if he looks good.
Yep.
And it's a game about confidence. The football's a game about going out and being confident in what you do. And I think that something like that, a good start to the season, can maybe foster it even more than what you would already have.
It's interesting. You know, we're talking about expectations. I do wonder over the next, and it starts tomorrow, right? Because everyone has a schedule in front of them. You'll see predictions. It's not just us.
Yes.
I wonder if the Eagles are going to end up being that team this summer people start jumping on. It feels like we're trending that way because, I mean, there's two separate discussions here. One, it's the Eagles and what they did. But, James, just independently, I thought the Cowboys have had an awful offseason. They lost two offensive linemen. I know they drafted one. We'll see if he could play. But they lost two starting offensive linemen. They lost Amari Cooper. They lost Cedric Wilson, who was pretty good at the end of last year.
Randy Gregory?
Yes. I know they brought Gallup back, but he got hurt late in the season.
He's coming off an ACL.
Doesn't it feel like the Cowboys are headed for a disappointing year? And I thought they were kind of overrated based on their record anyway last year. They weren't great.
Oh, they weren't. No, they definitely weren't. And I think they were one of those teams that started hot. And everyone's like, oh, the Cowboys, look at them. And as the season went on and they started to lose guys and started to kind of play the season out, they just weren't that good. They were okay. You know?
And you saw it in the playoff game when they lost.
You saw it in the playoff. And, I think Dak's a good quarterback, but I don't think Dak's great. You know, I think there was a time last year everyone started to be like, oh, Dak, MVP guy, he's great. And then I think we saw the real Dak as the season progressed. I think he's a good quarterback. But I don't think you're winning games just because of Dak. I don't think you're going to the Super Bowl just because of Dak. I don't think he's that type of guy. And to your point, I mean, losing Amari Cooper matters. Losing Randy Gregory matters. Losing offensive linemen matters. Where on the flip side, the Eagles went out and filled holes. They got Haason Reddick. They got A.J. Brown. They had a good draft. They did all these things. And I don't think they're done adding for what it's worth. James Bradbury's out there.
Yep.
Other guys, I think the secondary gets at least one more guy. So, I'm actually shocked at how optimistic I am right now about not just the team, but the division, their chances to win it, all that.
Well, the other part of the division, I still think the Giants are a while away, right? I know they got a new coach.
I think they want to be.
Yeah.
I don't think the Giants have any intent. Look, they're not going to lose games on purpose. You know, no Hugh Jackson here or whatever.
But it's kind of a long-term thing.
I think Joe Shane is looking at this and saying, hey, I don't believe in Daniel Jones. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. I'm sure him and Dable are coming in. They want their guy. There's, you know, Mel Kiper's talking about 7 quarterbacks going in the first round. Whatever it is, I think the Giants are looking at this and saying, hey, we're not going to be that good anyway. We're going to play young guys. We're going to develop. And I think the Giants are fine being a bad football team this year.
So that, the only team we haven't discussed here, James, that leaves the Washington Commanders, led by Carson Wentz. It's almost poetic that he's back in the division
it's
now.
It's not almost poetic.
It is poetic.
It's poetic.
It is poetic. So we don't have the full exact schedule. That comes at 8 o'clock. We'll give it to you as soon as it does come out. But we do have some of these leaks that have come out. One of them, confirmed by the Washington Post, one of the beat writers down there, Eagles will host the Commanders Week 10 Monday Night Football.
Oh, buddy.
We knew it was a lock that it would be a primetime game. Like,
yes.
The NFL had to do it. My only gripe is that it's not earlier in the season.
I agree.
Because he gets hurt.
He gets hurt.
Benched, whatever.
Yeah.
It might not have the same buzz. But boy, if the Eagles are, let's say, pretty good and the Commanders are at least, well, it doesn't matter what the record is. If, as long as he's starting, that will be one of the most just wild scenes. Like, we get two of these. We'll get to the other one. But we get two moments this year at home. We get to welcome back someone who, in theory, like, should be a guy we talk about forever, and it will be Carson Wentz, just the wrong way. What do you think it's going to be like at the link that night?
It's a really fascinating one because, and I'm sure this will change over time, and you know, time heals all wounds and all that stuff, but it's a fascinating legacy for Carson Wentz here. I mean, personally, the way I look at it, is that dude played a big role in me getting a Super Bowl.
Well, he did.
Like, that's it. That's it. Everything else, like, I hated it. I hated him in the moment. I hated him so much in the moment when that all happened and he aggressed it out and I have no accountability and I couldn't stand it. But now that he's gone, now that he was out of my hair for a year and all that, and I got to root against him and I got to watch him fail against Jacksonville and all that, like, I don't like Carson Wentz. I'm not rooting for Carson Wentz, but I appreciate what he did here and what he meant for my team and my experience with my team. So I think it's really complicated. I don't know. I feel like I would cheer him at first and then boom, the rest of the game. But even then, like, the cheer wouldn't be as full-throated, so to speak, as it probably would have been if all that.
Yeah, you know, I can't. I'm actually, and like, I want to see the Eagles win that game 44-0.
Yeah.
But I
can't, more than anything.
If you ask me right now, I think it's going to be a little bit mixed in the building. I think the boos will drown out the. Will there be any cheers? Will the people in Europe feel like you just kind of be quieter?
I think they'll be more quiet. But I mean, if he comes out at first, I think you give him a little, like, you know, a little quick cheer.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks.
The fact that he's in the division though, and a rival, it changes it.
It does.
If he came back with the Colts, which we thought that's where it was going to end up.
Yep.
Obviously, that didn't last very long. I think that would have been different.
I think you're right about
that. One every 4 years, yeah. It's like, this is the only time he's ever coming back. Yeah. And this might be the only time.
It probably will be.
With the way his career's going, he might not be in the league very long. But it's going to be, like, that will be such a great scene. I can't wait for that week leading up to it on WIP.
Because that's all
we're going to talk about.
It's gonna be awesome. Again, like, if you think about it, just in the last, let's say, you know, 5 years or whatever, in what we do for a living, like, is there a name in your life that you've said more than Carson Wentz? Other than maybe your kid's name and your wife's name? That's it. I've said Carson Wentz's name a million times.
Burned in my brain, and I'm sure yours as well, is I see the call screen. It just says Wentz.
Carson Wentz,
either way.
Totally.
Yeah, I know. He's been the most talked about athlete in this city. I mean, you would throw him and a couple basketball players, maybe Bryce Harper, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. That's who we've talked about. And then the coaches, obviously. Speaking of coaches, it looks like week four is Doug Peterson's return. And
There'll be no ambiguity with that one, my friend.
That will be a hero's return.
As it should be.
And I were talking about this, and my theory is that he has to be the only coach or player to return to a city where his statue is outside the building.
That's a great point.
Like, Doug Peterson's statue's outside the stadium, and he's coming back here to coach. I can't wait to cheer Doug in week four if that's the game.
I love the man. I love him. I'm rooting for Jacksonville because of him. They're my new AFC team.
Why not? Like,
unless you're playing the Eagles, go Jags. I love Doug Peterson. And I know that it got a little, you know, ugly that last year. And there were a lot of people who didn't like him as a coach and all that. But regardless of that last year, obviously what he did for us in the Super Bowl, and I don't care what anyone says, the man was a genius the Super Bowl year. In-game, game planning, I know he had a lot of help and all that, but Doug Peterson
every button.
Was on a heater, man. I mean, everything the guy did was just the right move, and I'll never, never be able to thank him enough for that and what he gave us. But on top of that, like, he just seemed like a great dude, man. Like, who has a problem with Doug Peterson, the person? You can't. He's smiling, jovial, seemed like a great guy. His players loved him. I think there's few people who have come back, especially as recently as he has, who deserve a full, you know, standing ovation, the entire crowd, stop it all, and get up and cheer for that dude as much as Doug.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Look, that looks like it's an early season game this year. So the two divisions, because there's always so many different elements of the schedule, the two divisions the Eagles are going to play this year outside of the NFC East, obviously, so they're going to play the AFC South.
Thank goodness.
And they're going to play the NFC North. I've got to say, among the divisions they could play, you can't ask for much easier.
I think
than
it's
that.
Probably the best too. I mean, you could argue maybe you want to play the NFC South, you know, because outside of Brady, it's pretty bad.
It's similar
to the North in a lot of ways. But Minnesota maybe a little better second team. Green Bay maybe probably not as good as Tampa Bay, but it all kind of evens out. But I mean, the AFC South, easily the AFC division you want to face.
Two awful teams with Houston and Jacksonville.
Okay teams, you know, who knows? Maybe good, maybe okay. You know, Tennessee just lost a pretty damn good player, you know, so. And who knows, Matt Ryan? I think he'll be good there, but he's 36. It could be anything. So, yeah, in terms of the divisions, you got that extra stuff. I mean, they couldn't have gotten luckier.
Yeah, it's actually the opposite of last year. Because last year, you know, we went through it early in the season. It was like, man, they have to play the AFC West last year? And who they play in the NFC?
It would have been the South because they played Brady and all them.
Right. Yeah. Especially the AFC West. I mean, that's probably the most brutal division of football. Mm-hmm. And that tough start was part of it. I mean, this year, you kind of add it together. And the other part of the element of the schedule this year is, James, they get 9 home games.
Yep.
Because they're doing the reverse AFC-NFC thing. It was weird when they did that last year because I was like, all right, how are they going to do the 17th game? And I remember Tucker's idea was maybe a neutral site game, which would kind of be cool.
It is a cool idea, yeah.
But obviously they didn't want to give up revenue and money for these stadiums.
Really? No, it's surprising. But I mean, these guys love to give up revenue, I feel like.
Every other year, it's an advantage for the NFC.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, it's a really big advantage. And look, it'll be an advantage every other year the other way. But in this case, especially with how the Eagles' schedule is set up already, as easy as it looks like it's going to be, having that extra game is just like an added bonus. It's huge.
So last year, and we'll find out when the schedule comes out, and you're listening to the Eagles special schedule show. Joe Giglio, James Seltzer hanging out for the next couple hours. Merrill Reese is going to join us at 8:30. When we get the full schedule, the thing I'm probably most interested in, because we know a lot of the games and we obviously knew the opponents before, is when is the bye, James? Because last year, it's funny, the bye is always a beauty in the eye of the beholder. Like, you could spin it any way you want. Ideally, you want it somewhere in the middle.
That's what I would think.
But last year, it was towards the end. And
it was the last week that byes were a part of the league.
Was it 14?
14. Yeah. It was the last group of byes.
And they spun it. And actually, I think it worked out. They were fresh down the stretch, and they finished that, and they got in the playoffs. This year, just from what we've seen leaked, it looks like it's going to be earlier.
Week six or seven, something like that?
Yeah, somewhere in there, which is okay. But what my worry on the other end of that is we get to, you know, it's an 18-week season now. So if this team's good and we both think they could be pretty good, and we're talking about the playoffs, that means they haven't had a week off in, you know, months.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
It's a long haul.
Yep.
And especially if the leaks are right, you've got that stretch of three away games towards the back end of the season. You add that in with the early bye. The schedule looks tougher on the back end than on the first end. So while I did want an easier schedule to start, I think that's important. You could definitely look at it in a way where with the bye early, kind of after that bye, it could be a real marathon, so to speak, to make it all happen.
Yeah, I mean, if they're good, you know what we're going to be talking about in November. Like, they have to get the bye. They have to get a bye. Well, there's only one bye now, which makes
makes it really hard.
Probably not going to be that good to do that. But that's always a big one. And then you mentioned that there is, you know, one of the leaks out there is potentially three straight road games in December, which Howard said it last hour, and I agree with him. It's probably most unfair thing that the NFL does to any team, not just the Eagles, because it happens once in a while to all these teams. But there's no way around it. That is a killer. Like, if you win, and I was mentioning the Super Bowl year, they won two of the three. If you win two out of the three, I don't care who the opponents are. They could be three bad teams. It's a thumbs up. Like, I'll just take that right now. That's hard.
Oh, my God. I would take two in a second.
I think the Bengals last year had it and lost to the Jets in that last one.
The Saints, when the Eagles whooped the Saints last year, that was the Saints' third straight road game, and we saw what happened, 40-18, and the Saints were not great or anything, but I don't think the Eagles were that much better than the Saints.
No, it was the three straight road games.
It was the three straight road games. So, I think it's a massive disadvantage for any team that has it. You hope, and it looks like if the leaks are right, the first two games of it should be winnable. And then you just assume you go into Dallas on Christmas Eve and lose, because that's probably going to happen anyway. They don't play great in Dallas as of late. I mean, since 2017, I think they haven't won there, so they've been pretty bad in Dallas.
Yeah,
so
it's been a long time.
Been really bad. They won 2017 there, and since then, I don't know if they have. They might have been one in there, but I
wasn't
I feel
that
like
the 2017 game
the
where
37-9. I think was that one.
Who was the kicker? Was it? It wasn't Jake. Was it?
It was Jake. Yeah,
he got hurt.
And that was the Camus Gourget Hill kicking the ball game.
Yes, and they were going for two.
Your ability, I noticed this when you were on with Howard, your ability to pull out the games and the facts and the memories of it.
It just like sits up there.
It's very impressive.
Too much up
there.
Very impressive. They've stunk in Dallas last year.
They stunk, man. They stunk.
And from my memory,
that's his worst game we've ever seen him play was Dallas last year. I mean, there are a couple you could throw in there, but that one for me, that was the, in my opinion, the worst I've ever seen.
And what made that worse for me than the playoff game is, and I don't feel enough people have talked about this. He clearly re-injured his ankle in the playoff game.
Yes,
he couldn't push off.
The ankle was a thing.
Yeah, he had surgery.
Exactly, and also he just knew it in the moment. Like
right.
He just wasn't running as much, and when he did, he didn't have that same burst, that same wiggle. Like, it was clear that ankle was a bigger deal than anyone made it to be in the season.
And that's what bothered me. Just to go on a Hurts tangent for a second, when people bring up that, remember the throw where he had the interception in the front of the end zone.
Of course, yeah.
If you go back and rewatch that, he like double clutched it two times, and I keep thinking it's because he knew he couldn't put the pressure on his leg.
Yeah,
because he can make that throw.
Sure.
Like, if he can't make that throw, then he can't be a winning quarterback.
Yes,
like
that's true.
We've seen him make that throw, but I agree with you. That Dallas game, Hurts has to get his first win in Dallas.
I know.
You can't be a long term Eagle quarterback unless you at least get a win in Dallas.
Well, he has to beat Dallas, right? I mean, period.
You know what? I'm sure at some point this summer or in the course of this fall, you guys on your show in the midday, Go Birds, my show, we're all going to do the what does Jalen Hurts have to do to be the long-term quarterback?
Yep.
It's got to beat Dallas.
That's a great one.
I mean, he's got to beat Dallas.
He has to.
This isn't rocket science. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. James Seltzer in for the next couple hours. It is our Eagles schedule release special here. We'll get the full schedule, and we'll know it officially coming up at 8 p.m. We know some of the leaks. Week one, the Lions. in Detroit, week two, the Minnesota Vikings. When we get back, let's look at the NFC East, the teams we know they're going to play, and who they're playing in week one, because there's a couple really good matches with the other NFC East teams in week one. We'll do that next, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.